Today is Saturday, the 18th of February 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 70th session on mindfulness for beginners. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Sister Rohini, representing Nisarana Vanaya Forest Monastery for today's session. So Venerable Bante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero is unable to take part in today's session due to Bante being made responsible for other activities during the same time of event. So in due to that reason, we have Venerable Sister Rohini joining us from New Zealand for today's session. So I would like to welcome her with much respect for today's session, and also thank her for her dedication to step up to step forward to this program today. So with that, I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining the session through the Zoom transmission, as well as the Facebook live streaming of the Satipatthasala Foundation's webpage. So our Zoom session for today's program will go on as, firstly, we will get into the in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will have the question and answer session where we will present written reports and also verbal questions or reports or statements to our Venerable Sister. And then we will proceed to the talk on mindfulness after a slight break to go through the introduction guidelines. Then we will, after the talk, we will wrap up the session as usual. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Sister to commence the in-session mindfulness practice for today's program. Over to Venerable Sister.
Thank you, Navantha. Following the program structure, so today I will do the practice of mindful walking. So if there is anyone new, so unless sitting, mindfulness sitting, we are for mindful walking, we need to have a little bit of long or at least 25 to 30 step walking path. The ideal is the sand bed. Next is grass. But saying that, any other surfaces, if you don't have any luxurious footpath, then carpet or tile or cement floor is okay. So wherever you choose, stand on the end of the path and close your eyes. When you close your eyes, it is easy for you to bring back your mind to your body. So for a few seconds or 1 minute or so, you can close your eyes. Then maybe you can hear sounds. Maybe you are stuck with many, many thoughts. But try to pay attention to your body. The standing posture. How you feel the surface you are standing on. Just observe. Just observe the posture. Maybe for a few seconds. Then you can get a clear, direct thoughts. After that, maybe you can start walking. There's no any a certain speed you follow. Just follow the body language and find the comfortable speed. The speed may vary from time to time. For example, in the morning it is maybe different from in the evening. So find your speed at the right time. So while you are walking, you can observe the feeling of walking body. When you walk, maybe you can feel the surface, the roughness of the hardness, the coolness or the hotness, whatever you feel, just observe it. Maybe you feel shifting body weight from one side to the other. Some practitioners may feel the process of walking from heel to toes. Also, someone can feel moving leg in air. You all will get different experiences. The most important thing is, remember, the mind will not be happy about watching this monotonous action. Instead, it will your mind look for interesting objects like sounds, what you see, thoughts about past and dreaming future. But remember, your job is to bring your attention to the feelings of your body, a walking body. You need to do this again and again. Whenever it goes out, whenever your mind go out, please bring it back to the body and sensations you feel. So let's do this for a few minutes.
Much merits to Venerable Sister for the guided mindful walking session. Now we have the question and answer session coming up, and to present the written reports submitted for today's session and also to coordinate the verbal questions or statements that may arise, I would like to invite Arosha to coordinate the Q&A session for today. Thank you, Arosha.
Thank you very much, Namata. With your permission, Venerable Sister, we have four practice reports to share today. I will start by reading the first one. This is a report from an adult. The report begins, walking meditation. Noted lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing of each foot. Hardness of floor and softer foot. Weight more on one foot compared to other. Colder sensation on medial part of foot more on one than the other. Occasional unsteadiness. Slight discomfort in foot, not distracting. Brief thoughts came and passed, not distracting. Occasional short proliferation. Sounds not distracting. Walked 30 minutes. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. After initial counting, mind settled, watched in and out breaths. In breaths longer, shorter, warmer out breaths. Later out breaths longer and prominent on one side. The nostril appeared to expand and disappear, the internal and external breaths becoming one. That side of the face disappeared too. On the other nostril, the breaths were breaking up, but face still felt. Sounds heard, but not distracting. Some thoughts recognized and passed before proliferation, but others only after short proliferations. Few sensations felt, not distracting. Mind staying on breath. Mind settled, calm. Slight sense of warmth through the body. Eyes opened in 30 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Further to advice from last week's report, whilst carrying baby, notice the sensation of heaviness on the shoulder, warmth on the trunk on the side that the baby was lying on. The cooler areas not touching the body noted in contrast. Felt the softness of parts of body compared to harder other parts. Mind went to the sound of in and out breaths, and then the breaths of the baby in contrast, which was at a faster rate. After a short period, the sensation of carrying the baby disappeared, and the whole body felt light. Continue to observe the breaths, which appeared to break up and disappear, and reappeared. With much merit to Bhante and the organizers. The report ends.
Yeah. Actually, good one to hear. The walking and sitting and went nicely. Experiencing all the sensations and describing that the sounds or thoughts is not distracting. Those are all good report actually. And especially that day-to-day activities. About the carrying baby and even carrying my baby and holding the baby, that lightness can experience. That's the wonderful thing. Oh, midst of everything, there's sound, there's thoughts and there's feelings and everything is there, but still you can be mindful. That is the most important thing, the mindfulness. So, especially, I would like to say that day-to-day activities about that. Because while we were walking and we were sitting, it is okay. We were focusing on one direct thought. But in here, when we are doing anything, something like that, holding baby and carrying baby, and there are a lot of thoughts going in and out. But still you can be mindful and showing that, and that lightness of the body is coming from the concentration. So that one-pointedness and the direct thoughts are there and exclusive thoughts are there. So it is wonderful. Good report. Okay, please carry on like that.
Thank you very much, sister. The next report is also from an adult, and the report begins, mindful sitting, sat down for formal practice early morning as it was the holidays. Body was fully rested even prior to sitting, and the mind had clarity. Some aches and pains in the leg was noted until it ceased. When initial thoughts subsided, mind stayed in the thoughtless state until it was clouded again by a thought and again became darker. Simply observe the friction between the thoughts and no thoughts, brightness of the mind and the cloudiness, a few times like in a cycle. Then the mind was empty of thoughts for a very long time. Not much difference in the sitting practice and day-to-day living now. Day-to-day practice. Easier to watch the defilements entering in day-to-day living rather than in the formal sitting practice, as they don't tend to come much in formal practice. Especially when talking to others, I felt that my words and tone is sometimes too cold and harsh and not empathetic enough. I'm fully aware that people are suffering out of their own ignorance and delusion, but feel that I should treat them with more empathy and compassion anyway, and should just listen to them more with much more awareness of the audience. Some of them are not receptive of this Dhamma, so I should just listen to their agonies anyway, I feel. Maybe they get a lot of comfort by just talking with someone. Most of the time, the mind stays empty and peaceful, and when defilements enter, most of the time can look at them like visitors entering the mind and going away. Sometimes certain defilements are much stronger, such as the irritation in the mind when the house is not clean. Sometimes able to watch the untidy house as colorless states and able to calm the mind down. With the noting, craving towards food is more obvious and apparent now. When I note them, sometimes the craving becomes more and more. Tiredness is disappearing now, Bhante, so can work towards more productively at work. The freedom from inner chatter is an absolute gift, and I'm truly grateful to you for showing me the way. May your practice grow from strength to strength, Bhante. May all of you be well and peaceful in your minds, and may your practices grow from strength to strength. End of report.
Sitting is going nicely. Those cycles of thoughtless and the thoughtful periods are happening even within a 1 hour session. Maybe it will happen 6-7 times. It's okay. If it is longer, the thoughtless time is also okay. There's nothing wrong or right to say in sitting practice. But I need to mention some things about day-to-day activities or our day-to-day life. You know, while if someone achieved or if someone is experiencing those thoughtless and thought movements while they are doing sitting mindfulness practice, so that people need to secure it. I should mention that secure it, because if you are not having a good lifestyle, that may lead to, not to progress, because that correct livelihood is very important at this time of the practice. How you spend your rest of the time is affecting your mindfulness practice while you are sitting. So you need to be careful about when you're talking with other people. You don't need to be a judgmental about other people or judgmental about others' talk or their feelings. If you can listen to them with empathetic view, it is good. But forcefully, you don't need to do that. If you feel that it is not good for my practice or your practice, then just avoid it. If you see that it is not affecting to your practice, it is okay to face with those people and listening to them. And if you can find enough space in your mind for them without having judgmental thoughts, I'm repeating that, without having judgmental thoughts, like a counselor. If you can listen to them like that, it's okay. Otherwise, avoiding those things, or be wise. Add some wise thoughts to your practice. So that is what I wanted to tell about that vata.
Thank you very much, Venerable Sister. The third report is also from an adult. The report begins, mindful sitting, breath as primary object. Sat on the cushion and gently closed the eyes. A body scan took place, starting from toes towards head and back. When breath appeared, it was felt around the upper lip area and prominent. Mind stayed with the sensation of airflow near the upper lip area for a while. Some sounds heard in the background. Then the attention returned to the sensations of breath. Thoughts appeared next, but there was very little storytelling with these. Breath was becoming subtle now. Feelings of ease noted in the posture. Few waves of coolness moved through the body. Breath was breaking up now. Sometimes the beginning noted of the breath, and other times there was no sensation to notice. Felt a bit bored and wanted to end the sitting session. Remembering feeling similarly in other sitting sessions and continued to sit. Ended the session after 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. The attention naturally moves to feet now. For example, walking to the station on the way to work. Walking inside the house or in the garden. Noted how the awareness of feet and sensation of breath becoming two resources in times of stress in the week. It was quite overwhelming to go through the process of reducing work. Became indecisive and wanted to procrastinate. Then noted that the breath was fast. Watched the breath for a minute or so, which became more regular. Felt less overwhelmed afterwards. Another time, while walking to the station, the mind was preoccupied with the upcoming building work in the house and the amount of preparation to go through and how little time to do it all in. Then the attention moved to the sensation of feet and was able to continue to note this for about 15 or 20 steps. This mindfulness had short-circuited the stress building to an unmanageable level in the mind. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Good, actually. That sitting experience is explaining all the mindfulness awareness, actually. So it's good. It's really good. So you are aware of everything happening around you and within you. That's a good sign of practice. Mindful walking, I should say, in this stage, if you can have mindful walking time, because it is good to have mindful walking time while you are walking inside the house and while you are in the garden or walking to the station or the supermarket or whatever it is good also. But I'm saying if you can find a time for mindfulness walking in a particular time, 5 minutes at least or 10 minutes or something like that, just to focus on that only. So I think it is clear what I'm saying. The mindful walking need to be done in a particular time for a period of time, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it is, because it gives you a good energy for mindful sitting. When you practice mindful walking while you are doing something else, while you are going somewhere else, so that is a part of, this is not the part of your active mindfulness, but it is also a part of mindfulness practice. That does not, it's okay, but it is not good enough for a beginner, I should say. Because when you establish your mindful walking in a good state, then you can practice while you are going somewhere else and while you are walking for, afternoon walking or inside the garden or house, whatever, those times you can use after establish your mindful walking in a certain level. Then it will be easy for you to carry on your mindful sitting also. Because now it is your mindful sitting is very good actually. So if you can practice a little bit time, sometime, I don't know, but minimum 10 minutes or something like that. If you can practice that, focusing on mindfulness, walking, mindful walking is the only thing. Not going somewhere and doing some, preparations and thinking of construction works and things like, not like that. So keeping away all those things and focus on mindful walking and take time for that. So that will, I'm pretty sure that will help you to progress in your mindful practice. So please try to do that. And as a day-to-day activity, you can use sometimes while you are walking to the supermarket or taking the dog for a walk or something like that. You can use that also as a day-to-day activity. So I am actually inviting the person to do that and come back next week and say the progress or the whatever happened, please.
Thank you very much, Venerable Sister. That's very valuable and important guidance. The final report for this week is also from an adult. And the report begins, walking meditation, 20 minutes. Stood at one end of the path in a relaxed posture. Started walking, noting lifting, moving, and placing of alternate feet. Each turning was done slowly and mindfully. Warmth and slight irregularity of the carpet and the cold smoothness of the tiles were felt on the soles. Felt pressure and heaviness of weight-bearing foot when compared to the lightness and motion of the foot that is lifted. Sitting meditation, 40 minutes. Sat on a chair with the back straight. Scanned the sitting posture. Noted the rising and passing away of in-breath and the out-breath at the area of the nostril. The beginning, middle, and the end of the in-breaths and the out-breaths and the gaps between them were noted. Sometime later, the breath became gradually shorter and subtler. Many cycles of breath appearing and disappearing followed. Subtle movements, vibrations of the skin were interspersed by grosser movements. For example, insects crawling and spinning under the skin, mainly over the arms and legs were noted, starting just before the disappearance of the breath. Since starting walking meditation for the last 4 to 6 months, there are continuing cycles of subtle breath for long periods of time leading to restlessness. On doing just the sitting meditation, the breath used to disappear fast, with the appearance of clouds, colors, and other scenes. With gratitude to Bhante and the organizing team. End of the report.
Is that this report says about after walking it is restless? So am I heard wrong? Or?
Yes, Venerable Sister. That last section suggests that the practitioner has started walking meditation in the last 4 to 6 months, and then that has led to some change in the sitting practice. So I'll read that section again with permission.
Please.
Since starting walking meditation for the last 4 to 6 months, there are continuing cycles of subtle breaths for long periods of time leading to restlessness. On doing just the sitting meditation, the breath used to disappear fast with the appearance of clouds, colors, and other scenes.
Okay. What I want to tell her about that, her or him, that the last 4 or 5 months, about last 4 or 5 months, walking meditation and the sitting meditation. So please don't give a face value to your meditation, because everything is, we can't judge the meditation value, the face value. So after, if you think that after doing walking meditation, when you do sitting, so it is going to shuttle period and then the restlessness thing. I need to tell that don't give a face value. This is good or this is bad. There's nothing good or nothing bad while you are doing mindfulness practice. So if there is a mindfulness is established in your practice, as long as it is there, so don't worry. Don't worry or don't give a judgmental value for your practice. Because we don't know what is happening inside the practice. So what I want to say, the walking make you do more insight, go more insight than sitting only. So while you are walking, while you are doing walking meditation before you are sitting, that leads to more insight meditation while you are sitting also. So that make you restless maybe, because when you are having unexpected results, then your mind is struggling or fighting against it. Why, saying that. So you don't need to do that. So whatever comes as a experience while you are doing walking or sitting, after walking or after sitting, whatever it is, don't get any judgmental, or don't give any marks or good or bad or whatever it is. Don't judge it. Please don't judge it, because everything is an experience. Experience you get from your meditation, from your mindfulness practice, everything is valuable. There's nothing wrong or nothing good. Everything is good. Everything is valuable thing for your practice. So look at like that in a positive way to your practice. Please look at the positive way. Because that restlessness and the shuttle breath is saying something more than you think. We can't say it is not good. It is giving you some insight knowledge. It's a wisdom. You can see it. If you put your wisdom in there, after you do meditation, you can reflect on your practice. You can reflect on your results. When you reflect on your practice, you can see that, the restlessness is there after the shuttle breath. So that means when you are doing mindful walking, your half of your sitting meditation is done there. So when you, after you are walking, when you sit for sitting meditation, that half of your sitting meditation has done in while you are walking. So you are in maybe 20-30 minutes in advance while you are sitting. I think you can understand what I am saying, the person whoever asking this question. So don't please judge your results or experience. Take it as a good one. Everything is good. So, and reflect on your experience, thinking what is giving from that results, from that experience to my wisdom. So look at in that way, without showing your negative thoughts in there. Everything is valuable.
Thank you very much, Venerable Sister, for that very insightful guidance.
I can't explain it in detail because it is in a secular program, so I can't put many, religious words in there. So I'm very, very, struggling to explain it. But yeah, so please, what I'm asking for that person, don't give any judgmental thoughts in there and just think as it is good and continue your meditation in the same way.
Indeed. Well, thank you. Yes, I think it is difficult at certain points. It also highlights to us all, I think, that when we listen to the reports that are shared that are incredibly valuable, there can be a sense of my practice should be like this or should not be like that based on hearing, and this is just my reflection. But that that thought of should in itself is an indication of judgment, and we should just let that go. As Venerable Sister, you very kindly and compassionately explained, there is just mindfulness. And it is all good mindfulness, and not to put any other value on it.
Yes.
Thank you. So at this point in the program, there's an opportunity for participants to ask any questions that have arisen, either based on their experiences, personal experiences, or what they have heard in the reports and the advice. So I will pause for a moment, and if you would like to raise your Zoom hand, I can invite you to ask your question. Yes, Nadeep, please go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much, and also sister, I don't know how to address your name, sorry, please apologize, beg your apology. This is regarding my mindful walking. Soon after I start, I began with the, I am right now being here and pay attention to my foot. And soon after, like 2, 3, maybe 5 steps into the walking, I feel a lot calmness and also effortless walking. I was trying to stay in that or maintain that status, but it disappears after 2, 3 cycles of the walking, and then it comes back again. Just wondering, trying to stay that calm states and effortless walking, sometimes make a bit frustration. And then I realized that the frustration actually caused by the like being like to that effortless walk and the calmness. But it's, comes and goes. Just wondering how would I handle and cope with such a situation, Manuel. Thank you.
Yeah, good question, actually. I was thinking for my little speech in the end of the program, the same thing, actually, I was thinking to add. Because, everybody, that's same. I mean, all of us like that calm and steady time, because it is like you are walking under a a heavy forest, and the rain and everything is there. So you are like very struggling to walk through the jungle. And all of a sudden you find a very peaceful place. There's no much harmful things in there. So it is naturally we attract to them. So it is that it is what happened to you also, because it is a calm and effortless pace is very good. You know, like it is, everybody like to stay there. So we have a greedy or tanha in there to having more and more it. So that make you not to happen again. So that expectation.
Yeah.
That expectation postpone the event, postpone the experience. So it's sometimes Venerable Dhamma Kusala says in 16 plus program I heard, sometimes he says that if you think of monkey while you are sitting, okay, if I want to see a monkey, then it never comes. And if you say, okay, I don't want to see monkeys, then monkeys will come. So likewise, what we wish in meditation, in our mindfulness practice, never come. Don't expect anything. Just go and practice. So whatever comes, accept it. That is the main thing in mindfulness path. Don't expect. Whatever happens, is accept it. Don't go against it. You know, some people that some experience are not accepting. Oh, you know, the former report, the just before the report, that one is not happy about the subtle breath and the restlessness period. So it is like a hatred feeling. It is against that. So you are the opposite. You like it. So the both are in a, like a, the two sides of the coin. Same. Both are not making any good for the progress. So whatever happened, just take it as just an experience and let it go. Everything except Nivara. When you get that part, when you get that level, so you will automatically you will accept it. Now it is wrong place. We are like, you know, that building a 4-5 story building and like to live in a middle on the way to stay. You know, it's on the way to the second floor. You are trying to live in there. In between, so no progress at all. Then please accept whatever it is and let go of it, because if it is a valuable one, it will come again and again. If it is not that much value in there, it will not come again. So likewise, if you ask about something or wish about something again and again, if it is not valuable, it will not come. So don't expect anything. Whatever you experience, accept it and let it go. That is the mindfulness practice. Be mindful in there also. Yeah, so whatever happened, up to that you are mindful. When you reach that level, when you experience that level, you are not mindful there. Do you think?
Yeah, slightly taken it away from me.
Yeah, you are not mindful there. So if you are mindful, you can let it go. So try to be mindful whatever happens.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Arusha. Thanks. Much merits.
Thank you, Nadeep, for the question. And so we have another hand raised. Samantha, would you like to go ahead, please?
Thank you, Arusha. Thank you, Venerable, for taking my question. I was just wondering now, in Venerable was explaining like earlier on accepting and letting go. Now, when you're faced with in a stressful, difficult situations that you're handling and faced with, of course, the mindfulness would help if you're, because of the emotion, the stress will lead to so much of emotions and to stop you from reacting negatively. You will, if you can, hopefully, if you are able to sort of like be mindful and see how you're feeling. But then it's sometimes, it's very difficult to let go at the in the moment. So if you're handling a difficult person or that sort of scenario, so then how do we use the mindfulness in a positive way to control the emotions, Venerable, and be able to let go? Because I always feel that, on one hand you're mindful, but at the same time you've got the bottling up your emotions and all those things, and it's very difficult unless, you bite your teeth or walk away or, but sometimes it's not always difficult, easy to do that.
Yeah. There are a few things I can say. One thing is your mindfulness is need to be strong enough to face that situation. Because if you are a beginner or in a middle way, it is not mature enough to face that type of difficulties. So for those things, according to our Lokuswami Nansa, if you can be like a turtle, taking all the limbs inside the shell is the best thing until you develop your mindfulness fully. I mean, fully means not being arahat or something, but it is until it's strong enough to face those level of difficulties. First thing. The second thing is, if you can look at that time, whatever that happened. So if you can look at that emotional feelings mindfully, you can see it's like a bubbling inside your mind, inside the heart. It is so painful, and it is, whole body is heating up. If you can be mindful on that, there, how you, how your body is changing according to your mind, emotional behavior. So emotional pattern is changing your mind. If you can be mindful about those feelings, about your bodily feelings, that is another thing. So one is need to be patient and practice more mindfulness. The second thing is, if you think that your mindfulness is strong enough, then you can look at your emotional changes in your mind, and according to how your body is reflecting that changes. If you can be mindful in there, so you will not hear those things, whatever they say, whatever that person says, you will not hear. So it is like the same thing, like taking your old limbs into the shell. So one is you are frozen. You freeze. You don't hear. You just focus on your body. So just focus on your body. Then be mindful about your body. So that's why we always say, even for walking meditation or sitting meditation, while you are doing that, every time your mind is distracted from something, bring it back to your body. We say always that. Because that train you to bring your mind back under any circumstances. So whether it is harsh words or painful, something, hit something or something, anything, if you can come back to your body and observe your posture, then you will not hear whatever they are around you. So it is another way of dealing those things. If you feel that if you are not strong enough for that, then you need to go to the second step. Just look at the feelings, and if you can't look at the feelings, you can look at your bodily changes happen according to your emotional feelings. Mm. When you are angry, your heartbeat is racing and the skin is red or heat up, you know. Those are the changes in your body when you are not when you are angry or when you are not dealing properly. So can you observe that?
Yeah, thank you, Venerable. I think that's really helpful. Go inwards and not get hold on to my feelings or whatever, just observe the changes within myself. And that's really helpful. Thank you, Venerable. And along with the practice to strengthen the mindfulness as well. I'll try that one.
Definitely. Thank you. Need to strengthen your mindfulness. It is there actually. And sometimes while I am in lay life, sometimes when it happened, what I did, I just try to remember or memorize or think of that person's good qualities. Anything there? So I did try that one also, and sometimes it helpful. While I was in lay life, so that was. I tried, but Lovely. The most valuable and most efficient way is look into your body and feelings of the body.
Thank you, Venerable. And I remember that turtle as well. I think that's gone into my head. Yeah, thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you, Sonanta, for that question. So one final question for today's session. Panchani, I'll invite you to unmute yourself and you can ask your question.
Can you hear me, dear Venerable?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I can.
Venerable, you mentioned that the way that I am living is actually affecting the progress in my sitting practice when the report was read. I just wanted to mention that I still get those judgmental thoughts about people, but as soon as they arrive, I know them and I am able to let most of it go. Certain ones, I get caught and I know I sort of go into little proliferation, but then soon I am able to let it go. What I'm noticing is when someone criticizes my path, like my faith, some of my very close family, they follow the very traditional Theravada Buddhism and they practice in a very different way. And when they criticize the path that I have taken, that's when the frictions really arise. And I get very emotional. Some advice how to handle that sort of criticisms. I know I should like focus on my bodily sensations at that time, but it's, I guess the devotion is strong. So therefore I get caught in those responses.
Yeah. You know, this, I got that kind of complaint or statements. Very close, while I was in Sri Lanka, I had a very close Kapakara. So she faced the same situation because of her other family members are doing something else and she is doing something else. So that has happened actually. Yeah, it is. But you know what, when you say about the Theravada, because of that, I'm pointing this out. Once Buddha said, if someone says, and something about Buddha, against Buddha, the not good, all the bad. Then if someone is arousing anger, it is not my disciple. He said so. So we need to practice. You know, the world is world. we can't change the world. Only myself I can change. Even I can't change you. You need to change yourself. So need to think. Even for Buddha, there were so many people blamed him. So many harsh words came to him. Even for Buddha. So that is happened because can you remember or do you know what you did past lives? We don't know. Maybe we did the same to some people. So it's coming back to us also. Because all the time when Buddha had those things, that's what happened. Because his past life things happened and it came back. So likewise, we can't avoid some things, some people and some statements, and you know that is a karmic force also. So we need to accept it. So accepting, rather than letting go, accept it. So those things are very hard to let go, because it's like a kindabahino to your heart. So that is very hard to accept, let go. So you need to accept it. Accept it as, you know, it is, even Buddha had the same thing. Even Venerable Sariputta had, you know, someone hit him to check his patience. So who we are? We are like a little worm. So it is not to worry. Just observe while you are facing those things. Just observe how your mind is going up and down. How many changes or how it change the mind. It is like it is a parallel line going. In one point, you can't tolerate anymore. So it's jump up. So you observe it. And rather than let go, accept it. Most of the things, if you can accept, it's easy to let go. Don't need to let go then. If acceptance is, make it let go. It's good to talk like this, other than keeping in your mind and suffering. It is good. Yeah. So we all are susceptible for anything. Anything. Even for Arahat, even for a fully enlightened one, can happen. Yeah. So accept it. Just a smile with them. Accepting. Oh, okay. Yes. Maybe you are right. I am so idiot. Please forgive me and please go your way and I will go my way. When I have a wisdom, I will come with you. Just say like that.
Sometimes it's difficult because it's like people that you live with.
Just accept. Okay. Maybe you are right. But I am so stupid. I can't understand. Please forgive me about my stupidness. And I will come one day. Until then, please leave me alone. Just say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Panchani, for that reflection and sharing. I think it's not an uncommon experience for many people on the path. Mm-hmm. There are many views and opinions, and we have to kind of live with them, I think. So thank you, Venerable Sister, for the valuable advice and guidance. I think we all learned a lot from today's session. So I'm now going to wrap up this Q&A and report reading session and hand back to Namantha to continue today's program. Much merits to everyone.
Thank you so much, Arusha. Thank you, Venerable Sister. And also thanking all the people who submitted reports and raised questions. Thank you. Yes, as mentioned, such experiences are very common, even to me. I am also facing similar experiences and sometimes feeling sad when those are experienced. But still, sometimes the sadness goes away after a few days or even. So it's quite common. Next, I will give a quick introduction into commencing mindfulness for a beginner. If there are any beginners in today's session, I don't think so. But just in case, even as a refresher, it will be good for the experienced practitioners as well. So I will share the screen for that, which I still haven't, it seems. You can see that the first point highlights the links for the videos. One is on mindful walking, one is on mindful sitting. So you can go through these videos and get an idea of what to do in each session. Secondly, you can allocate some time in your daily schedule as best as you can. Maybe if you're a beginner or you are in the early stages, you can allocate 10 minutes or 20 minutes for each session. And then do one mindful walking session and follow on to the mindful sitting session. And you can do this for several days in the week or every day in the week, which is better. After you do this for about a week or so, you can start writing reports like the ones that were read out in the session today. You can describe what you experience in terms of, say, during mindful walking. You might have experienced the feet getting in contact with the floor and whether you were able to focus on that and whether there were any disturbances from thoughts, surrounding or noises. And you can also try and grasp when your focus returns to that primary object that you selected, and mention that as well in the report when you're writing the report. And if you are when you're doing the mindful sitting session, you can you will have the breath or the abdomen movement or the bodily sensations as a primary object, and then you can again disclose or try to understand what is happening with my primary object. Am I able to keep focus on it for a while, or is my mind moving into thoughts and returning or not returning? These are the things you can keep on observing. And then you can write a report on each mindful walking session and mindful sitting session and try to describe these phenomena that you would have encountered and experienced in each session. So no two mindful walking sessions need to be the same. No two mindful sitting sessions need to be the same. If they are to be the same, the conditions leading to those will need to be the same, which never does. Weather could change, temperature could change, your mood can change, bodily fatigue can be different from session to session. So there are various factors affecting this, and so there's no such thing as a successful session and a failed session in most situations. So you can write the report as you witnessed the experience being felt at that time and convert it into words, and then you can send it to the to be presented in the session using the Google form or the email. And then also past session recordings are available in the link contained in the fifth point. So I will put all this information in the Zoom chat section right after, and you can copy them to a file from your side. So with that, I'll stop sharing the screen. I think we have like 5 minutes or so for a quick advice or talk from a Venerable Sister. If Venerable Sister is okay, yes, you can commence at the talk now and give us some insightful advice, and we will be most appreciative. Over to Sister.
Thank you, Namante. I think I am going to discuss about our practice and how can we support it to improve or make it progress. Progress in progress sense does not mean a kind of achievement or kind of realization, but the sustainability of the practice. That is the mainly focus area of my being saying progress. Let me say like that. In our practice, both are important. Realization or the achievement and the sustainability. So your achievement as well as sustainability is important, because if you don't feel that you get any satisfaction, if you are not satisfied about your practice, or you are getting rid of the anxiety, sorrow, or any other negative feelings that you had before, I mean, little by little, at least, if they are easing, if they are not easing your feelings, if this is not happen, you easily stop your practice. I have met actually many people who are very interested in the practice, but like opening a bottle of carbonated drink, they stop sooner than they arrive. I am not blaming them actually, but I want to show normally what happens. So what has happened to most of us, that because this is not easy or joyful in the beginning or in the middle of the practice. Why? Why it is so boring and feels monotonous? The behavior of the mind is like a monkey. I think everybody agree with me. Even monkey doesn't know where it could go in the next second. No agenda at all, actually. At this moment, the mind is entertaining the eye. The next second, it jumps to the ear and then it entertains it. In the next second, it gives up both the eye and the ear, yet entangles with the chain of thoughts. This is how our monkey mind behaves. This is what we used to do. This is what our mind used to do. No agenda at all. But when we try to give an agenda, the mind does not like it. We all know that actually. The mind understood it as a monotonous, boring thing. What the mind is like is to go on again and again in the same rut. This is the difficulty we face in our practice. To break this rut and give a new agenda for a short period of time is the one we are trying to do by being mindful. So, how can we overcome this difficulty? So while I was answering those reports and discussing those reports, this is the challenge we are facing actually. To break an addiction in normal life is to introduce another addiction. Wandering mind is an addiction actually we face in day-to-day life. So to break the mind habits, we introduce mindfulness to temporarily stop the habit of swing between the past and the future, the habit of shifting between the eyes, nose, tongue and body, ear, whatever it is, the habit of fighting with emotions. Yeah. So we introduce mindfulness. The addiction of mindfulness is to replace the addiction of unmindful mind for a short period of time, at least 20-30 minutes per day. Although we are diligent practitioners, mind always try to find loopholes to slip out. That we heard while we were reading those reports. They are always looking for loopholes to slip out. So we need to know them or need to talk with the teacher to find out the loopholes. When talking about the practice, there are certain things we need to consider. One of them is the faith. Faith about your practice as well as about your teacher. Let's talk about it a little bit. Faith is the forerunner of the mindfulness practice, actually. To continue the practice, we need to have good faith in the practice. For that, we can use scientific evidence, if you like. The scientifically proven outcome of the mindfulness practice. There are so many articles and scientific papers showing the benefit of mindfulness. You can find them in the web. One who are interested in scientific side of the practice, there are many videos as well, I think. So sometimes we lose faith in our own practice also. And losing the faith on our own practice is so dangerous, actually, because it may leave the practice or seek another teacher. That is the problem and that is the dangerous thing about it. If you lose the faith in your own practice, either you stop the practice or seek another teacher. So what can we do if something like this happens? That is the important question, actually. Sometimes when you feel your practice is not going anywhere, best thing to do is discuss it with the teacher rather than give up your practice. Most of the time I have noticed most people do not have a training to discuss their experiences, actually. They think that they are going on the right path. They do not tend to read or discuss the experience with the teacher. Otherwise, debriefing or clearing the experience in some way is a great help. Actually, it is a great help moving forward. Also, that will help some people to come forward and discuss their experiences too. Because some people are shy to come forward to say their experience. So if someone is saying that, the others will have courage to come out. The second thing that is essential to keep your practice going is that you apply the right amount of energy. If your energy is low, you might feel sleepy in your practice. If you put in too much energy, you might feel restless or agitated. For example, when you are in sitting meditation, if you put too much energy to observe the posture or the breath, you might feel agitation or restlessness. Tiresome feeling makes you to give up the practice, actually. Yes. Sometimes it makes headache, like a forehead headache or shoulder pain. You know, there are so many physical feelings you will notice when you have agitation or when you have a restless period. So that make the too much effort. Even in walking meditation, there is a trend to get shoulder pain or headache, actually. Sometimes this will happen when you look at your feet while you are walking. So when you have restless period, actually, if it is a restless one, drooling is another experience when this happens. You will observe it. However, if you put a low effort into observing the breathing or the posture, you may feel you find your mind wandering everywhere without having any direct thoughts. So without your direct thoughts, there's no mindfulness, actually. Nobody can say this is the right effort or right energy. It is your practice that makes you understand the right effort. When you practice, you will find the right one, or else when you talk with the teacher about your practice or the experience the teacher will tell you. So please associate with the teacher mostly and then talk about your experiences with the teacher if you have any doubts. If you direct your thoughts to the given object, breathing or the posture, the mindfulness is there. That mindfulness develops the concentration. In the beginning, it will not happen easily, actually. But your patience is the most important thing here with the faith. Faith in the teacher and your own practice are very important factors to develop and sustain in the practice. So, especially the faith on your own practice, you need it, that will make you push in the path. Here I should say again that faith in your own practice is important. Without that faith, you can't make any progress. That faith will help to find the right energy or the right effort you need to put while you are in practice. It automatically helps you to do your practice actually again and again every day. It is like a strings in the lute. Too much tight strings or too loose strings will not give nice music. It should be in moderate. So likewise, the effort we put into our practice should be in moderate, and the faith in your practice should be there to make a progress of your mindfulness practice. Sometimes people complain about their less effort and ask for solutions. But I think that the main reason for the loss of energy is the lack of fear in the rebirth, as well as the lack of faith in practicing mindfulness. So the faith and the right effort is so important. For summarizing my brief talk, really, really brief one. So summarizing the little talk, to keep up with the mindfulness practice, to avoid the giving up mood, you need to keep continuous faith on your own practice and the teacher. To get a progress of your practice, it is important to have right effort. If you have doubt in your practice, the best is to talk to the teacher. Anyway, my advice is to regular contact with forwarding your experiences to the teacher is important to go forward in this mindfulness practice. So hopefully my being here is, hopefully you got something from me, and thank you for all the support. And so for today, I will end up here my little talk. And open for any questions. I don't think there are any questions, but if there are any questions, please, yes. And thank you for everyone.
Thank you so much, Venerable Sister. If there is a question, we can spare about 1.5 minutes or so. We are really out of time, but you can raise a Zoom hand if you have a quick question. Okay, I don't think there's any question today. With that, I would move on to wrap up the program because we are slightly over time by now. It was a great pleasure to be able to listen to Venerable Sister's insightful advice throughout the program today in today's session. And we would like to share all the gathered merits with Venerable Sister and hope Sister's own practice will improve with the power of these great merits. And we would like to see Venerable Sister's presence in the Zoom session in this program if our Bhante is unable to participate in the future at any event like this. So, and it was even for me, it was very pleasant to listen to Venerable Sister's advice. And it is not easy to come into a program that a person is not used to and deliver advice and participate in this manner. As a first-time session participant, Venerable Sister has really inspired us. Thank you so much. And with that, I would also like to mention Venerable Bhante, who has been conducting these sessions for us. May these merits accrue onto Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero as well. And also, we have the Chief Abbot, the very respected Most Venerable Bhante, Udairegama Dhammajiva Mahathero, to thank and share merits with for insightfully requesting this program to be. And we share these merits with him as well and wish him good health and continued success as a mindfulness practitioner and also as a advisor in the realm of mindfulness practice in today's world. Also, I would also like to thank all the organizers who have worked hard to initiate this program, make it happen, and then also for their continued efforts in sustaining the program quality and the program itself. Also, I would like to mention all of you who have attended the program. You give us the basis and the justification to continue the program, and it is because of you that we can, you know, tell Nisarwane and ask them to send in Bante or Venerable Sister to the program. So thank you so much for your presence in the program, in the Zoom session today, and also on the Facebook live stream. Much appreciate that, and wish you that all these merits, wish all these merits will go on to improve your own practice as well. We conduct these sessions every week normally, unless there is a event where Bante or Venerable Sister is, or any other Bante from Nisarwane is unable to participate, then we will cancel. So please attend these sessions as regularly as time and schedule permits for you. We will have the next session on next Saturday, same time. Until that, I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead. And yes, there are some kind comments in the Zoom chat section. Thank you and much merit for those comments. I would wish you a mindful and happy week ahead, and hope to see you in next week's program. I will end the Zoom session. Thank you.